Chuta. O mango creeper.
O mango creeper.
Priyala.
Priyala.
O Priyala tree.
O Priyala tree.
A kind of shala tree.
Panasa.
O jackfruit tree. So they had Michael there, that's good. Asana. O asana tree. A yellow shala. Kovidara. O Kovidhara tree. Jambu. O rose apple tree. Arka. O arka plant. Vilva. O bale fruit tree. Bakula. O mimosa tree. Amra, O mango tree. Kadamba, O kadamba tree. Nipaha, a smaller kind of kadamba. Yay, who? Anye, others. Pada, of others. Arta, for the sake. Vavakaha, whose existence? Yuna Upakula. Living near the bank of the river Yuna. Shong Santu. Kindly tell. Krishna Banavim. The path Krishna has taken. Rahita. Who have been deprived. Atmanam, of our minds. Naha, to us. Translation, O Chuta, O Priyala, O Panasa, Asra, and Kovidara, O Chambu, O Arka, O Bilba, O Kula, and Amra, O Kadamba, and Nipa, and all your other plants and trees living by the banks of the Yamuna, who have dedicated your very existence to the welfare of others. We gopis have lost our minds, so please tell us where Krishna has gone. So I just want to, for the internet, I just want to remind them it's 10:39 in the Bhagavatam, just so you can follow along. So, purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Chuta is a mango creeper, whereas the Amra is a mango tree. He goes on to explain that the nipa, though not a very prominent tree, bears large flowers. So nothing about the nipa tree. So I can describe some of these trees that I'm familiar with them in Vrindavan. The nipa tree has very large flowers and it has leaves that are shaped like cups. So when the coward boys would take prasadam, they would actually use that. You wouldn't use plastic or styrofoam or anything like that, like metal. They'd use the nipa leaves. There's actually one kund, right near Govinda Kund. It's not a kund anymore, it's dry. It's called in nipa kund, where the coward boys would sit with Krishna and eat the prasadam. Nice. Anyway, little story. Nipa tree, although not a very prominent tree, bears large flowers, and that the gopis' desperation to find Krishna is clearly shown by the fact they approached the insignificant arka plant. Arka plant is like very bitter, it's medicinal. You don't want to take it, it's actually poisonous. So it's really personal. In other words, that's the statement that's been made here, the insignificant arka plant. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following information about the Vrindavan's trees. The nipa is a dust kadamba and has large flowers. The kadamba proper has smaller flowers and a very pleasant fragrance. Nothing but the kadamba. The kadamba tree in Vrindavan is very easy to recognize. I don't know if you have kadamba trees, you probably have in Fiji. It has bumps on the side of it. It's like almost slightly golden. not really gold, but it, you know, slightly hinted of a gold color, and it has bumps all over the side of it. And so it's taken as representative of Srimati Radharani feeling ecstasy. It's interesting, isn't it? Whereas the Krishna tree is the Tamala tree. So you have Krishna, sometimes who goes and sees a Kadamba tree and remembers Radharani. And you have Radharani, sometimes she sees a Tamala tree and she embraces the Tamala tree thinking it's Krishna. The Tamala tree is blackish tree. In our courtyard in Krishna Balaram Mandir, there's a Tamala tree. There used to be another Tamala tree when they were constructing the temple. The devotees wanted to cut down that tree. And Prabhupada said, no. There's very few. And actually now there's very few Tamala trees left because they've decimated. And that means they really cut down a lot of trees in Vrindavan and built these really high-rise buildings, you know, 10, 15 stories high. They've actually once, I can't say they ruined Vrindavan, but they pretty much covered it up a little bit more for us poor conditioned souls. There was a song when I was young about, you know, it wasn't about Krishna, but it was a similar mood. It says they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Some of you may remember that song. You know, it was this, from the 1960s. They paved paradise. So they paved Vrindavan. When I first went to Vrindavan, you actually saw all these trees in Vrindavan. And of course the peacocks, you were woken up every morning with the peacocks crowing. And you'd walk and there wasn't any vehicles, motorized vehicles. It was all like a forest. It was all sand trail around Vrindavan. And just like, you definitely remember Krishna. And now I have to be honest, I have a hard time remembering Krishna in Vrindavan. Because if I take a parikrama around Vrindavan, I'm always trying to avoid the trucks hitting me. Because the parikrama path is now on a truck route. And it says, so you really have to go in the middle of the night in Vrindavan. So anyway, so I moved out to Govardhan, where things are more peaceful. And they declared Govardhan a green zone. So they're not going to be able to destroy Govardhan the way they destroyed Vrindavan. So, but the original Vrindavan, I mean, I know we used to go swimming. We had water fights in the Yamuna River. We were just like, that's such a good time. The water was clear in the Yamuna River. And, you know, we'd roll and just like, you know, brahmacharis. Not the lady. The lady had to chase and just cook all the time. But anyway, that's the joke. But we had the brahmacharis, we'd all go into the Yamuna and just, you know, splash each other, just have such a good time, jump off the sandbanks of the Yamuna. And now, Yamuna's not even in Vrindavan anymore. They've constructed dams above Delhi to divert the water so that the businessman could grow different types of rice. I actually have a whole documentary about that. So the businessmen could grow rice for export, not even for the Indian people. Basmati, because the Indian people in India, they don't eat basmati rice. They just eat the regular rice. So some businessman, and in this movie you see the businessman, he has a belly like about this big. I'll just show you all the recent time. And they've diverted the Yamuna. And then all there is after the, they call it barrage. That's the name of a dam in India, barrage. I don't know what you call it here. But anyway, barrage. And so after the barrage, two or three barrages before Delhi, there's only a dry riverbed, just sand and rocks. So Vrindavan is actually, it just doesn't look the same. I mean, to my external vision. Internally, it's the same. But you really have to be like situated to see that. And it's just, this is, so what's being described here in this verse is like Raj the way it was over 5,000 years ago. And sometimes I think about this, I think I just, wow, it'd be so nice to be in India thousands of years ago, like when, or even 500 years ago, over 500, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, just going through the Jatakanda forest and seeing the lions and tigers, not lions, but you know, tigers and deer, embracing each other and kissing, and just like, this is like, wow. And that, you just, now you can't breathe the air, basically. You know, what has man done to this world? Especially to the dog itself, anyway. Just whatever. So, the Kovidar, so that's the Kadamba tree. The Kovidar is a particular type of Kanchanada mountain ebony tree. That's a nice type of tree. Even though the arca plant is very insignificant, it always grows near Lord Gopishwar, the Shiva deity in the Vrindavan forest, because it is dear to him. So a little explanation about Gopishwar. Gopishwar is actually Lord Shiva as a lady, as a gopi. Gopi Ishwar. And he is the presiding deity of the Vrindavan forest. This is technically, he's called Dikpala. Dikpala means the guardian deity who guards the different areas of Braj. And actually, if you go to different areas of Braj, you'll see different Shiva deities who are guarding different areas of Braj. For example, in Radhakund's Kundeshwara Mahadev. Very interesting. So whenever we do the Radhakund parikrama with anybody, with devotees, of course, aspiring devotees, we actually go to Kundeshwara Mahadev and get permission to enter the Radhakund area. That's the proper area. And actually, the four corners of Radhakund, there's actually Lord Shiva in the north, Lord Shiva in the west, Lord Shiva in the east and south, we're guarding that, the Dham like that. So, Gopishwara Mahadev is a very interesting deity because he keeps men from entering the Rasadas. Only ladies are allowed. And actually, there's all ladies means gopis, of course, not ordinary matajis. But gopis, and there's different varieties of gopis. There's sakis, and there's manjari gopis. And the manjari gopis are the very young gopis. And so anyway, so if anyone wants to enter the rest of it, and also you have to be qualified, it doesn't let ordinary ladies go in. So there's an interesting story in, that happened around Govardhan, is that Narada Muni, he wanted to see Krishna's rasa dance, and he wanted to enter into the rasa dance. Not to dance with Krishna, just to watch with his binoculars. And Gopishwara Mahadev, he stopped him and he said, only ladies are allowed here. And so Narada Muni didn't know what to do, and then he had the realization that if he bathed in a particular corner of the Kushima Sarovara, then he would become a gopi. So he went into the Kushima Sarovara and bathed, and he became out as Narada. Actually, I had one disciple here in Fiji. I gave her the name Narada, and she was really upset. She said, do you think I'm a man? I said, no, Narada Muni is a gopi. It's a very exalted name. So Narada Muni, this is the whole story, Narada Muni went into the Rasadas to watch it. Not to dance, just to watch. From the bleachers. In the stadium or whatever. So he went in to watch the Rasadas, and Krishna immediately noticed him. Or her, sorry, noticed her. Well, Krishna immediately noticed her, and he said, Narada Muni, what are you doing here? And Narada Muni said, I want to watch your Rasadas. And Krishna said, I got something else for you to do. I want you to remain in Braj and to establish your ashram here and write Leonardo Pancharatra and Aravati Sutras here in Braj. And Narada said, not possible, Krishna. And Krishna said, why? And Narada said, because I've been cursed by your devotee Daksha to not remain in any place very long. And Krishna said, don't worry. In Braj, curses don't work. And also in Braj, other aspects of the material energy don't work. I mean, that doesn't mean you can step in the front of the car and get run over. It doesn't work. But, all these things like Vastu, you don't really have to worry about it in Braj. You know, where the temple is facing this way, that way. Because Braj is transcendental. Confirmed. Sounds like the beginning of a Bollywood movie, where the girls and everything start dancing. Isn't it? So Braj is transcendental. So that's Lord Shiva. And of course, Narada Muni also, in his ashram there, there's a beautiful ashram where Narada Muni resides. It's called Narda. It's right on the banks of Narda Kund. You went with me, Mama, right? Anyone else has gone with me there? No. You're all so unfortunate. You're all invited to come to Vrindavan. If they ever let us fly again. So, in this ashram, Narda Kund, it's a very beautiful Kund. Kund means like a lake. That is where Narada Muni instructed Kayadu in the Krishna consciousness. Kayadu, of course, is the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, and the wife of a demon. And so Narda kept her there. And then, anyway, so it's his special ashram, and there's the deity of Narada Muni there. And actually, they chant the Hare Krishna mantra a little bit differently there. They chant, instead of Hare Krishna, they chant Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Radha Radha. Radha Rama. So you may say, what is Radha doing with Lord Rama? Well, Rama in this particular context means Radha Rama. That's described by Vishwanatha Chakravarti or Madhura Charyas. Anyway, interesting story. I thought you'd all enjoy that, the Braj story, since we're in Braj right now. So we'll read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, the jasmines, out of fear of their co-wife Tulsi and Krishna, are not speaking, though they know. So because the jasmines are on the garland of Krishna, and Tulsi are on the garland of Krishna's garland. So they're afraid of Tulsi. So you actually see, it's not just like everybody's just like peace, love, like we used to do. This is from the 1960s. I would remember the hippie generation, peace and love. One time we went to this festival, the Rainbow Festival, and they said, peace and love, brother, welcome home. And I said, this is home. This is not my home. I went there to preach. Because everyone was naked. I said, this is not my home. So anyway, so like you even see in the Tulsi Shalaram Vivaha story, Tulsi cursing Krishna. So she's getting angry sometimes. So she's not just like, sometimes you picture the gopis, they're just like smiling, it's not like somebody with a stupid smile on their face, an ignorant smile. They actually have emotions, all these different emotions. They get angry, they get jealous, they get fearful. All these emotions are manifested. They're funny sometimes. They're telling jokes. So you have to really say there's a lot of variety there. You don't have an impersonal picture of the gopis in your mind. They're just not like that. They're just like, infinite varieties of gopis, infinite variety of colors of their skin. It's a real rainbow festival. Infinite varieties of emotions. It's wonderful. Anyway, so, out of fear of Krishna, they're not speaking, though they know. What use what use do we have of them since they are dependent on others? In other words, the gopis are thinking like that. What use do we have of these jasmines because they are subservient to Tulsi? Saying this, they went elsewhere. In front of us are the mango and piala trees, standing motionless on the bank of the Yamuna. From that we guess they are in meditation on Vishnu. They will not lie to us. In other words, they're meditating on Vishnu, so they're more dharmic. Because people who meditate on Krishna, you know, they're just like, they're rasika devotees, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. They meditate on Vishnu, they're sober, there's awe and reverence, so they're more trustworthy. With this faith, they inquired, Ochuto, mango with creeper, creepers, Nipa, Duli Kadamba, O Kadamba with sweet fragrance, O Piala, a type of shalot tree, O Sala, yellow shalot tree, O Kovidara, a type of Kanchanara tree. There's all these trees there in Vrindavan. O Arka, though small as always with Krishna, coconut. There's no coconut trees there now, that's for sure. Supari and others. Please tell us who are without our souls where Krishna has gone. Without our souls. In other words, it's just like our heart has left us. Why should we tell you? You have taken birth to help others. So, you know, the trees are answering the gopis' minds. Why should we tell you? And the gopis say, you have taken birth to help others and you live on the bank of the Yamuna. Does anyone know who Yamuna's brother is? Yamaraj, yes, right. So it says if you worship the Yamuna, you won't have to see Yamaraj. It's nice. And who's the father? Surya. That's good. And there's actually a temple to Surya Dev there on the banks of the Yamuna and a temple to Yamaraj on the banks of the Yamuna. So then Jiva goes on these commentaries. Those trees will not speak because they are his servants. We will ask trees which are trustworthy like sages. Chuta is the creeper mango and Amra is a tree mango. The poets called the creeper mango the Kamra. Something like dancing. It was seen in the central states. Nipa is the Duli Kadamba with huge flowers and plentiful pollen. The seed of the Priyala is famous as Charu Bija. It is the seed of Charu. And is eaten. Panasa is the jackfruit tree. There's no jackfruit trees now in Vrindavan. The weather has definitely changed. That's another thing. The weather has changed. Since Kali Yuga is coming back. Asana is the yellow sala tree, Kovidara is double leaves, and is famous as the Vindhya, in the Vindhya region, as Koi Lava. It is similar to the Kanchanara. Though the Arka tree is considered inferior, they asked this tree also since they were full of longing. What do we gain in telling you about this? You are dedicated to helping others, the conversation between the gopis and the trees. You've taken birth to help others. Or another verse is Parartha Bhavika. That is, you're producing auspiciousness for others. It's like that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One who has taken birth in the land of Bhartavarsha has his business to produce, isn't it? Auspiciousness for others. Preach. Since you are living at a holy spot near the bank, Upakula, the Yamuna, you speak the truth and are merciful. Thus, please tell us the truth. Do not cheat us. You should search for him yourself. That's what they think the trees are saying. Fearing this answer, the gopis speak with pain, hoping to generate compassion for their suffering state. And quote, we have lost all consciousness. We are near death. We cannot search by ourselves. Previously, they asked the other trees if they had seen Krishna, but did not receive an answer. Now they cleverly ask only for the path he took. Really intense. Any questions before we go into the next verse? Anyway, there's a nectar portion of the book. It's all nectar, but especially this. Okay. So we'll go on to verse 10. Kinte pritam chitita po bhatta keshavangri sparashot savapulakitanga nahar vivasi apyam risambhava rukrama vikramadva aho varava pucha parirambhalena. Translation. O Mother Earth, now they're talking to the earth. What austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you such great joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? You appear very beautiful in this condition. Was it during the Lord's current appearance that you acquired this ecstatic symptom? Or was it perhaps much earlier when he stepped on you in the form of the dwarf Vamanadeva? Or even earlier when he embraced you in his form of the boar Varahadeva? Wow. So in other words, the gopis actually, sometimes they get a glimpse of who Krishna is, ontological position, other times they forget, you know, so these are, it's just like coming in, just like sometimes you remember something, and sometimes you forget, like Arjuna. Sometimes he remembered that Krishna was God, and he apologized. And sometimes he forgot Krishna was God, and he lied on the same bed, and hit Krishna on the back. How are you doing, Krishna? You know. Krishna, can you help me kidnap your sister? You know, like. So it's like that. You know, it's just, I mean, it's amazing. Rasa's being experienced right here at this point. So, purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the thoughts of the gopis as follows. Perhaps the trees and plants mentioned in the previous verses did not hear our question because they were in trance meditating on Lord Vishnu. Or perhaps since they will not tell us where Krishna has gone, they are hard-hearted even though they live in a holy place. Anyway, what is the use of unnecessarily criticizing the residents of a holy place? We cannot tell if they really know where Krishna has gone. So let us find someone who definitely knows where he is. Thus the gopis concluded that since Lord Krishna had to be somewhere on the earth herself must know his whereabouts. So they're just using this logic. Well, maybe they don't know where he is, but he's definitely on the earth. And the earth is showing these symptoms of ecstasy. He's there. But maybe these ecstasies came because of his previous incarnation. So the gopis are going mulling over this in their minds. And then the gopis thought, since Krishna always walks on the earth, she is never separated from him, thus cannot understand how much his parents, girlfriends, and servants suffer in his absence. Let us ask her what austerities she has performed to gain the great fortune of being constantly touched by the feet of the great Keshava. In other words, the gopis also talked about Krishna's flute in the same context. What austerity he may have performed, or the coward voice, as they would be with Krishna. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, because they are absorbed in meditation on Vishnu, they are probably not replying to us. But as residents of the holy place, they are hard-hearted since they don't say a word to us. After this one gopi spoke, since we cannot tell who knows about Krishna, who does not, why do you criticize these residents of the holy place? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is actually elaborating on the gopis' consciousness by having different gopis speak to each other about this thing. It's like the Radhakunda pastime. We should ask that person who knows the truth, that person who has seen him. Oh, friends, do you know that person? Asking all the gopis this. One gopi pointed to the earth with her finger. So this is further elaboration on the purport that was written by Prabhupada's disciples. So it was a gopi actually talking. She said, "Do you know who it is?" The gopi said to that sati, "Yes, whatever you say, what you say is true. Whatever Krishna is, it is somewhere on the earth. The earth is never separated from Krishna. The earth is certainly the most fortunate among all the elders, girlfriends, lovers, and servants, because she never noticed the pain of separation. We should not ask her, as we did to others previously, about news of Krishna, but rather ask her what austerity she did long, long ago to get this good fortune. If we know that, then we can also do the same austerity and become freed from separation from Krishna." Wow. Considering in this way, they then asked the earth, "O earth, what austerities did you perform by which you shine with bliss born from the touch of Krishna's feet? Because there are hairs in the form of grass or standing on end, we understand that he has touched you with his feet. What austerity did you do by which you constantly are absorbed day and night in close association with Krishna? You should tell us. Hearing that, our lives will become successful." See, the earth did not reply. The gopis began to consider, thinking of the past. "Your strength was shown when you bore the great burden of Vamana's foot as he stretched his other foot from Patala to Swarga. By what austerity did you get that strength?" Va stands for vai, certainly, or can be considered added to complete the rhythm of the verse. "Oh, what austerity did you do to get the firm embrace of Varahadev? That austerity by which you get happiness rarely achieved by others is also joyfully performed because it brings you, a woman, into contact with a man. There is no one more fortunate than you." And just a little comment that when Varahadev came in contact with the earth, there was a little baby born. And that baby was known as Boma. And Boma did not go to a devotee school. He went to a karmi school. And he had bad association. And he became a demon. And that demon's name was Bomasura. That's what you add on your name if you become a demon. Right now he's named Adi Purusha, so he becomes a demon. He's Adi Asura. Adi Asura. Adi. I don't know the right Sanskrit for it. So anyway, and then Krishna later on had to kill him. And the earth actually prayed to Krishna after Boma was born. She knew that Krishna was going to kill him. She said, "Please don't kill our son." And Krishna said, "I won't kill him unless you give me permission." So she was thinking, God. But Krishna's more tricky than any of his wives. So when he went to attack Bomasura, because Bomasura had kidnapped 16,100 princesses. And so, you know, he had to rescue the princesses. So when Krishna went to attack Bomasura, he brought Satyabhama with him. And Satyabhama is actually, or the earth is actually expansion of Satyabhama. And so, when he was on the back of Garuda with Satyabhama and Bomasura was attacking him, Satyabhama said, "Kill him." And Krishna said, "Thank you for giving me permission." And he killed him. So that's Bomasura. So I think we have to end now. Tomorrow we'll continue with Jiva Goswami's commentary. So, time to read the deities. Any quick questions or comments? We are especially fortunate to be reading this, the commentaries of the Acharyas. You don't know how much good fortune you have. To be here with the deities, here with the Vaishnavas, taking prasadam, alive in this earth planet where Krishna appeared. Isn't it? I mean, everybody complains about their lives. You know, didn't get this, didn't get that. Yeah.
There might be a long question and a long answer, but the question is, you spoke about this, the rainbow wasn't your home. And then
the rainbow festival.
Yeah, it wasn't your home. And then I was thinking that Prabhupada said that we have to go home back to Godhead.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you at some point, why do you want to go back to Godhead?
I don't want to go back to Godhead. So does that answer that question? I want to serve Prabhupada life after life, so. But in one sense, the Rainbow Festival was fun because I was preaching there. I didn't last very long because it was pretty disgusting. I didn't have the same tolerance that Prabhupada had. Prabhupada actually went to a nudist colony and he was preaching. Nudist colony is where people walk around in their birthday suits. That means what you were born with. Krishna's the only one who was born with jewelry. So Prabhupada went there and there were devotees who later on became prominent members of the Hare Krishna movement, even gurus. But Prabhupada said that they're living like trees. Even there was one person who was living in a tree, in the hollow of a tree, who became a great devotee. Not mentioning names. But anyway, Prabhupada was more compassionate than me, what can I say? For me, it smelled bad, it looked bad, it was disgusting, and I ran away. My lack of tolerance. Anyway, I preached actually for 2 days. I didn't just like run away the first time. It was pretty smelly. So this is, I was thinking, this is not a home I want to be in. But there were other devotees there who were more merciful than me and stayed longer. There was one of my godbrother, Prithu Prabhu. He set up a whole big like tent there and was preaching to these people. I guess I'm too conservative. It was hard for me to show someone how to chant japa when they were sitting there and completely naked in front of me. I have to be honest. Don't put the beads there. So very, very degrading. Okay, on that happy note, all the